Good morning. Let us read from the Word of God as we have it in John's Gospel, chapter 16, verses 12 through to 15. So let us hear the Word of the Lord. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear, but when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify Me, because it is from Me that He will receive what He will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is Mine. That is why I said, the Spirit will receive from Me what He will make known to you. Let's just pray, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, we thank You again for Your truth. We thank You, Holy Spirit, for gifting that truth to us so that we can see how brilliant Jesus is in His death and His resurrection, His reign over us, and one day His return. Save us from being simply a Bible admiration people, but that we might really engage with You, and that You may transform us by the truth that we will consider now this morning. In Jesus' name, Amen. It's the 16th century, and you're traveling to Lincoln. All around you, it is flat, and of course, it is dark. And as you make your way towards the city of Lincoln, which is set on a hill, the only hill for miles around, you see a large, dark, indistinct shape. And you assume that it is the cathedral, and you would be right, because no other building would be as large as that within the city. It's the 21st century, and you're driving at night towards the city of Lincoln. And again, there is this large shape that sits on the steep hill of the city of Lincoln. It is clearly the cathedral, not only due to its size, but also now because it is gloriously lit up by floodlights, and you can see it for miles. The light tells you truly how brilliant the building really is. This world is full of spiritually dark people. The world cannot truly see Jesus Christ for who He is. The world might see some dark shape of history, but not the glorious Lord to be committed to. The gospel church, like ourselves, is full of the light of who Jesus is and what He came to do. The church that centers on the gospel lives so the glory of Jesus can be seen in human lives in a lost, dark world. We are the light of the world because Christ is the light of the world. For the church to speak clearly about Jesus, it requires a true, complete revelation from Jesus. For the church to live out brilliantly the Lord Jesus Christ, it requires a fully reliable Bible and the Holy Spirit to teach us from that Bible. For the world to see clearly that Jesus is more than a shape in history, a full, clear gospel needs to be shared. And because we are people who are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, this is possible. So, 2 points today. Through the Holy Spirit, we have the Bible. This passage that we're looking at in verses 12 to 15 is the fifth passage that Jesus has again taught about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is referred to in each of those passages as the Paraclete. The Paraclete is a transliteration from the Greek into the English, and it means literally the one called alongside to help. In other words, the Holy Spirit has been called alongside by the Lord Jesus Christ to help us in all the ways that he helped his people while he was on earth. This translation is difficult to capture in our English versions. You have advocate used, you have counselor used, you have helper used in the various versions. It just shows the varied aspects of the Spirit's ministry in our lives. In this passage, Jesus shows how the New Testament came into reality. The Old Testament was already in existence, and that was already used by the Jewish family in the upper room. But now we're being told about the production of the New Testament that completes the Bible. And these verses confirm to us that the church has a full and complete revelation as the men in the room then wrote down the truth that forms our New Testament. Listen to various verses that Jesus has taught. Chapter 14, 26. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Chapter 15, verse 27. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, he will testify about me, and you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. And verses 12 to 13 in the passage that we're looking at here in chapter 16. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. So at the heart of all of this is truth-telling. The Holy Spirit tells us the truth about Jesus, and therefore the church, on the basis of the written word, tells the truth to each other and to the world about Jesus. And truth-telling is important, isn't it? In the legal process, the truth must be established. In the political arena, spin must be exposed and the truth really told. In the relational life, for faithful trust to develop, truth is essential. And so what we have here is the full, complete truth about Jesus in the Bible. So what a gift the Bible is. So see with me. Biblical production. If you head to Dublin, you may visit the Guinness Brewery to see how the black stuff is produced. Now, you may prefer to visit some other kind of factory or place to see the production and how it is engaged in. But whatever, what we have here is Jesus underlining to us the production of himself in the truth, through the Spirit. After all, Jesus is the truth. He has told us so in chapter 14, verse 6. I am the truth, and therefore all truth is in him. And now the Spirit of truth takes all this about Jesus, and he gives it to the men in the room, so that they may write it down, and that we may have it fully and truly. So these men in the upper room wrote with clarity, brilliant clarity, about Jesus, so that all of us in the ensuing generations can have real understanding about Jesus, who he is, why he came into this world, what it means to follow him. I used to hate history. It was so boring, full of dates that were meaningless to my life. Then I read a really good book about history and its importance. And then I began to see with clarity that history is all about what God does. And suddenly, history was no longer entirely boring. It made the difference when I saw the clarity of things. And that's what we have here promised. Jesus saying to these disciples, the Spirit of truth is coming, He's going to remind you of everything I've said. He's going to teach you of everything I've said. There's much more to come yet after my death and resurrection, but that will be explained to you as well. And you will write it all down for my church. So what we have here are the essential themes about Jesus written out so that we can study him. That's the much more that is promised in these verses. These men would come to clear understanding about the identity of Jesus. They would come to clear understanding about his death, his resurrection, his reign in heaven now, and his return again to the earth. That truth would deal with their grief as it deals with our grief. The Spirit would clarify gloriously about Jesus. So the Bible is a very unique book. It has dual authorship. It has God the Spirit, who has authored the book, but at the same time, human beings authored the book. And so you have this God, human being book, and it's the greatest book that is ever written. It's better than War and Peace. It's better than the Famous Five. It's better than the Iliad and the history of heavy metal music. They may be interesting books that distract our minds and maybe even feed our minds, but nonetheless, here is the greatest book that we could ever read in our lives. It is utterly unique in the realm of literature because of all the essential themes about Jesus are clearly and gloriously displayed before us. And therefore, all that is written is complete truth. Human beings wrote the truth because they were guided by the Holy Spirit, who is the truth. The Spirit led them and they followed his teaching into all of that truth. There is no truth missing and there has been no error included. Indeed, it is impossible for the Spirit of truth to produce in any way errors or lies. And therefore, the men who followed the Holy Spirit were incapable of writing anything but truth. And this is a reassurance to us, a reassurance that what we have in the Bible is full and reliable. And we can trust in Jesus and follow him with our lives all the way through death, all the way into eternity. It's as big as that, isn't it? After all, Jesus says the Spirit will actually only speak what he hears. The Spirit will only say what he receives from the Father and from the Son. The Holy Spirit was in the room when the eternal conversation was taking place. And these voices, the Father and the Son's voice, come through the Spirit as this truth is written. There is no greater authority for our lives. There can be no firmer assurance of a relationship with God through Jesus than the Bible gives us. And we live in an age of fake news, don't we? We live in a world of spin and scams. We live in an age that in which lies abound. And it rightly makes us suspicious, doesn't it? But you can check out the reliability of Jesus and know it for an assurance, because what you have is complete truth about Jesus. Now maybe you're listening to this teaching and you know very little about Jesus. Well, I want to say that there are online courses like Christianity Explored that help you think that through. You don't need to know a lot about the Bible and you don't need to know a lot about Jesus to do it. You just, the course will simply walk you through Mark's Gospel, the second Gospel in the New Testament. It explores who Jesus is, essentially. Who is Jesus? Why did Jesus come? What does it mean to follow him? You could even get a friend to watch it with you and then discuss it together after it is finished. You can investigate who Jesus is, but you need to go to the Bible and you need to have someone to guide you through that Bible so that you come to clear understanding. So we have biblical production, but then we see biblical transformation? Why is all this being given? Well, maybe just a few thoughts here. The debate about what is true is now over. Yes, I know it continues. I know it rages. But nonetheless, when you come to the Bible and you understand that it is truth, then the debate about what is true is over. The Bible is universal truth and the objective standard for the whole of human living. We have full and complete revelation from God. He has given us his final word. We have an authority on which we can rest, and we need no other. Therefore, the test of all thinking and teaching, and therefore living, is the Bible. If the teaching takes us away from Scripture or adds to Scripture, it is false. We have to understand something about ourselves here, that as we engage with the Bible, there is a rival authority inside us that wants to destroy the truth. It is our rebellious heart being deceived by Satan and his lies. After all, sometimes we read Scripture and we may disagree with it. Why do so many counter-arguments fill our minds? Why the unwillingness to go where the text is clearly directing us? And when we meet that in ourselves, in the Bible, we need to pray for a humble heart. We need to pray for a submissive mind, a willingness to go where the Scripture is pointing us, not where our heart is directing us. So all teaching and thinking and living needs to be tested by Scripture itself. Therefore, we need to spend more time with the truth, not less. We live in a media-saturated world which is full of cultural thinking that is actually against the truth. I mean, let me ask you a question. Where do you get all your knowledge about life from? I mean, your daily life. The life that you live 24 hours in your family or in your singleness, or in your work context, or in your leisure situation, or what you do with your money, or what you don't do with your money. Where do you get your knowledge about life from? Well, we are to read the Bible for all it's worth, because God tells us what life is all about and how we're to live it. We might know nothing about the Bible. Well, you could begin with one of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. You may not like reading at all. Well, you can actually listen to the Bible being read to you. You can get it on your phone and somebody will read it to you. You can meet with a friend who knows the Bible maybe a bit better than you do, and you could read it together. And your friend could explain stuff that you may not actually understand. You could connect to a ministry team group as they meet each week and discuss the Bible and how it should change people. You get a daily reading plan and make time to meet with God each day. There are teaching books that simply explain the Bible to us in language that we can understand. There are children's Bibles and books and songs that take us to the truth and explain it all to us. Whatever, we need to be like Psalm 1 people. We need to meditate on the Bible day and night. And when we do, we're like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bears its fruit in season and out of season. We have the Bible because of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for getting this great book written for us. Our second point is this. We have Jesus, really, in verses 14 to 15. Now, I live in the city of Liverpool, so you'll forgive me, but Jürgen is totally brilliant. People have human-sized cardboard cutouts of Jürgen on their front door. He is brilliant. He is the Liverpool manager who has led them to the championship for the first time in 30 years. I mean, he can almost walk on water. Now, Sheffield will have an equivalent, and so you can fill that in from your point of view. When I was a younger lad, I had posters of my favourite football team and many of their players adorning my walls to the annoyance of my mother. Brilliant. For you, it may be something different. Doesn't have to be football, of course. The Spirit shines clearly and distinctly from the truth. And what he shines is Jesus Christ, not a cathedral. He is no dark, indistinct historical shape left to our imagining. The Bible is a relational book through which Jesus comes to us. Some of us were brought up in the era when there was no FaceTime, and so if you were going to connect with your girlfriend, you had to write a letter, and she wrote one back to you. So a letter is just a load of words, isn't it? But actually, what was happening is that the person was coming off the page into one's heart afresh as you read the said love letter. And the Bible is a love letter from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit to you and me. And at the heart of that is the brilliance and glory of Jesus. So the Bible is all about Jesus. The glorious Lord shines out from the passages of the Bible. Only the gospel-centered church engaging with the scripture can see how glorious Jesus really is. There's no one else like him, no one else at all. The spotlight falls fully and only on him. And the Father is full of pleasure as the church centers on Jesus. Jesus says, "All that belongs to the Father is mine." The glory of God joyfully rests on the Son. The Father is totally involved in all of this. So that's why Jesus says, "That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you." And of course, at the heart of that is seeing God the Father over the family. Think about Jesus. I'll summarize. He's the Word became flesh. He's the Son who always pleased the Father in an obedient life. He's the man who became sin for us, who knew no sin. He's the Lord raised by the Father in victory over death. He's the King who reigns eternally over the church. He's the victor who returns in visible glory to remove all evil and create a new glorious world. He is as clear as that and as great as that. The truth is as simple as that, but it's also as deep as that. It's all about Jesus. But it's all about Jesus meeting with us. The Spirit does not want Jesus to remain in history. The intention is that Jesus walks into our lives and gives us a relationship with God forever and forever. Coming out of that, quite clearly, the biblical Jesus is the only way to God. Today, many would say that in our multicultural age, this exclusive claim is not only misguided, but morally wrong. After all, the biblical Jesus, so they say, is not the real Jesus. He's a made-up Jesus, foisted wrongly on history by the early church, a kind of an inglorious corruption. How do you answer that? Well, we must answer that simply with the Bible and with the truth. There is no other truth. So we take people to the unity of the Bible, and we tell the whole gospel story, and the Spirit of truth then takes people to a true understanding of Jesus and convinces them on the inside of their lives that Jesus is as he is being displayed in the truth. Even Muslims who get visions of Jesus must come to the Bible in order to know Jesus in relationship. Because what is written is that which convinces of the truth. So even in a FaceTime relationship, we need words, not silence. We need words, not just dramatic actions. If I started acting at the moment very badly, you might wonder what I was doing. What's the man saying? You need words. and we have all these words full of truth. But not only all of that, it draws from us worship. We are to meditate on Christ in the truth. The Spirit shows us how glorious he is as we do so. Now let's be clear, the Spirit is not making Jesus glorious, but showing us his full glory that he already has. So the Spirit comes to a passage that we're reading and says, come and look at Jesus. Do you see how brilliant he is? And we should have that attitude in our hearts. We don't always have it. Sometimes it's hard to read scripture, and sometimes we're disinterested and we're disconnected. But we should pray for that we might have that Spirit. That the Spirit, Holy Spirit, would come to our spirit and say, look how brilliant Jesus really is. And as that happens, there is a process of transformation. Jesus transforms our character and our conduct to be more like his. Because you see, when Jesus comes to us, he comes to us as we are, but he will never leave us the same as he finds us. The study of the Son of God in Scripture will mean radical, hard, glorious change. In other words, we will become like the Lord Jesus. Either you internalize, and I internalize, the worth of Jesus in all his glory, or you will internalize something else as more glorious. If you internalize Jesus as your glory, then the character that emerges is the evidence. The fruit that loves Jesus and obeys what he says comes more forcibly to the fore. And we lay down our life for Christ and his church. We see that life is all about glorifying Jesus and enjoying him as we do so and serving him gladly with every bit of our lives. Jesus, through the Spirit, will assure us of how loved we are by God. We are redeemed and adopted through Christ into the Father's family. Here is living hope that cannot be killed by life or death. Here is gratitude to follow, not guilt that makes us stop. Here is confidence to run on in the dark. Here is delight in the pain. Here is a settled love when the emotions are full of distress. Here is no indistinct figure of history, but the brilliantly revealed Lord who shines uniquely in the darkness. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for giving us the Bible and showing us the glory of Jesus.